Then I'll get away from God. Or the work that he's done in me, wasn't it right to start me off? Now, there's, according to history, statistics, one of the worst things in the world that's ever hurt the church was and has been all along the ages is pride and division. We're living in a divided world. And there's no reason for it. If you're apostolic, nothing can divide you. If you're not apostolic, you're already divided. If there is another gospel, Paul didn't know it.
Amen.
I'm confident. Now, I know where I was raised. And I know who I am. I know that I never will be what a lot of apostolic people want to be, big Christians. All I want is to know the apostolic truth.
Amen.
If there's anything bigger than that, trot it out. Help yourself. Show it to me, please.
Amen.
Is anything bigger than the gospel? Paul said, I refuse to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
What I refuse to know is anything that's not true. No Negro preacher one time I went to their fellowship meeting and he said, he's Trinity now. He said, I'm against everything the devil's for. And then said, I'm for everything the devil's against. And I said, I'd love to preach oneness a few minutes. And see what he's against. And see what he's for. The gospel tries your temperature. How are you living? Jesus said, a Nazarene preacher told me one time, or he asked me. I went to his library to find some, I believe, water baptism myself, and that in the name of Jesus. Because there isn't any other name, the reason I believe that. And if you'll show me another, then I'll surrender this evening. Of course, people don't like me for believing that. But I'd believe it if everybody hated me.
Amen.
Because it's Bible.
Amen.
And this Nazarene preacher said to me, he said, how interested are you in water baptism? And I said, why? Whether it's essential or not? And he said, yes. Well, I said, well, certainly. Certainly. And he said, well, no, it's not a commandment. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's an ordinance. And I said, an ordinance is just as binding as a commandment. For the Bible said, he that resisteth the ordinances of God drinks damnation to his own self. And I said, further than that, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And he said, oh, you folks are the ones that baptize in Jesus' name. I said, yeah. And I said, why not? Because there isn't any other name. Another man living in the Gospels don't know what the epistles are. And he said, Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I said, why did they do it? He dropped his head and said, I'll see you another day. He never has seen me yet. He don't want to see me. You don't either if you're not holy apostolic. Huh? Amos wrote the most complete Bible of the Old Testament. Call upon your Sunday school superintendent up my summer tree or sycamore tree of mashing fruit. And you look at him and say, "What you doing up there, fella?" He said, "I'm getting this fruit ready for harvest." He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "As soon as this fruit gets ripe," he said, "I'll market it. Now, sure, my sheep, I'll head for the world market with them." Who knows when God spoke to Amos? The Bible said, "He that begin a good work in you will keep it up." You won't lose the fire over 10 cents of your dollar. Or when the preacher tries to discipline you, you want to fly off the handle. I've seen a lot of people cut up like Audrey did. Try to blow everything away when you try to curb them. You're living in a self-righteous age. You're living in an age where the world and unbelief wants to be heard. Amen. The other day, I went to the cleaners. Of course, I got to go to them every day. I got to get on my hands every day. You know, older God. The Holy Ghost will take you for a cleaning. Yeah, it will. And the Bible said you got to die every day. And I threw my clothes down on the counter, and a little boy walked up and he said, "Hello, Brother Evans." I didn't know the boy. Well, he said, "I'm so-and-so." He said, "I heard you preach Sunday morning." He said, "I was Roman Catholic." He said, I come out of them and joined the Baptist church." And I said, "Come on over. You're not far enough yet." I meant it, too.
Amen.
I meant it.
Amen.
That boy needs some help. He needs somebody else to tell him about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He didn't have any of it. No, he didn't have any. Don't you know, if he'd have had peace the kind that I had, he wouldn't have stopped till he got with me? Huh? John said they went out from us. But he said they wasn't of us. He said if they had been of us, they'd no doubt stayed with us. I don't have time to... I'm not going to let you ask me any questions. I'm just going to hand you something. He that began a good work... When Amos got down out of that sycamore tree, he headed for the world market. And when he got his figs marketed and sold his wool, he headed for Bethel, a place where they worship. When he moved on up to Bethel, he saw every idolater in the world. He saw the sex shrines of the age. And he saw holy prostitutes wherever he looked. These women sold themselves and they put the money in the treasure of the church. Jeroboam knew it. See what is going on? There's not a church in the world that don't know what's going on the inside of it. If they don't, they're silly. Jeroboam naturally appointed a man over the church treasure that would absolutely please him. He appointed a mason. And I imagine Amos as he got up close to the shrines of Bethel and he saw all the sins of the age. And he knew the nearness of the invasion of Syria, the danger that the world lived in at that time. Why? No telling what that revelation was that he got when he was up in the fig tree. What do you see, Amos? A plumb line. Hit it. Amos, after a while, I imagine him. He got just as close to Amasa as he witnessed in the priestess' office. God have mercy. When I see the world going like our world's going, it touches my heart. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, I believe, and you're listening at my heart, that I believe that we're living at the end of an age. You're living in a world where people are committing sin against God. Amos moved up close to the shrine. He knew that in old Amasa's heart that he could help the situation if the king himself would adhere to his prediction. And after a while, Amos got up.
Oh, glory, it does you a lot of good to blow off sometimes.
But you know, the world don't want to hear God's message. No, you're listening to a world that don't want to be told of their sins. It don't make any difference whether they're apostates or not.
One man said, I'll tell you, I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you get. There's no such thing as you getting so old you lose the vision. You may get the cold, you'll lose it. But you don't keep your seniority with it. This is a job, my brother, he's been preaching in the Church of God. He says it's a Church of God. What hurts, I can't make him believe it's not. But it isn't whether he doesn't believe, whether he believes it or not. It's not the Church of God. This today is the Church of God. There is no Church of God that don't speak the tongues and baptize in Jesus' name.
Well, you're out of the picture altogether. I didn't put you out. It's kind of like a fellow said, this new revised version, they left out 8 verses of Jesus' language in the 16th chapter of St. Mark. These big theologians, explosions, they left it out. And one magazine editor, he started writing. He said, these people that's not claiming they get the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, they'll have to shut up. Boy, he didn't know we had the original. The idea of a bunch of DDs putting me out of position here. That they wrote a book, they revised the verse, revised the Bible so that I'm plumb out of order. They don't realize that I got in the Acts of the Apostles before I got in the Epistles. And the Acts of the Apostles pregnant with it. Amos got up and he said, boy, he said, you're going to die by the sword. This whole nation is going to be led away captive. And Amos was the only prophet from Judea. And he'd went over into Israel to prophesy. And Amasa said, now you may do away, with a prophet, but you can't kill his message. The judgments of the gospel still rings out against you. I don't care what you do to that preacher. The word of God still remains a fact. And Amasa said, shut up! Thou shalt flee back into the land of Judah. And he said, there, eat bread and prophesy there. Here's what Amos said. Amos said, I'm no prophet, nor a prophet's son. But he said, the Lord took me as I followed the flock. In other words, I don't make my living prophesying. He said, I'm a grower of sycamore fruit. I'm a herdsman from Tekoa. Amos went back, and there's no Bible to prove that Amos ever prophesied again. But he possibly went back home and put the word of God in operation on writing, distributed among the people, and here come along Babylon. And fact is, you talk about a cold war in a heedless world. The other day when out in the Pacific there was a hurricane that was growing, building up. The sheriff, O.B. Carter, put amplifiers on his car and he drove up and down the street. He said, leave town! Made it no more mind. I got a perfect picture of the coming of the Lord out there. It was, if there's ever anything in the world, you know, I can prophesy. I've got to take the second coming of the Lord by prophecy. I can't find to save my life where he has come the second time. But I can find where he come the first time. Since that he hasn't come the second time, the world sits around, and when you preach, it's final. They listen at you tell of how Jesus was crucified years ago. And they say, if I'd have been there to help him out. Anybody's against the truth is just as far from God as the people that crucified Jesus when he was here. Here's what these people said that had been warned. We don't need to hear you, Carter. They said, we've been here all of our life. And water has never come over these streets over 3 inches. Sheriff, just sit behind. You're wasting your time. Sometimes I feel that way about the gospel, too. But I can't quit. The sheriff quit, went back to the house. The weather bureau said, order will strike us Thursday evening late. I can't, when I think of all that, my heart just bleeds out in me. The nightmare, and then I think of what's waiting for this human race. Boy, to strike you. You've never been in a place and watched people die, smell the stench of dead flesh from the elements. Then you know the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And a world tonight, today, that needs God. A divided world. Christianity so divided, hardly two believe the same thing.
early Wednesday morning, early Thursday morning, when I went to bed. When I went to bed Wednesday evening, the wind began to lash upon the sides of my house. And in the night when I'd wake, I could tell it was getting heavier and heavier. And I usually get up in the morning and go to the church to pray. I got up and I started out at the door and last said, "Don't be gone long." I could tell from the way the wind was blowing that I ain't rather be in the church than in the house. She said, "Wait, I'm a going too." There was people that was going to wait till after 12 o'clock and leave where they were at, where the danger lay. I went to the church. I turned on the radio and it said, "Audrey isn't here yet." And I said, "Well, the houses are not hardly staying. What will they do when she gets here?" God only knows. Brother, I see hell itself going to turn loose on this earth one day. We need to deny that we're not perfect. There's things among us in our own ranks that we ought to get victory on. Huh? A damn chance! We've got practically everything else. Everybody else has got it. We try to preach a sinless religion. And we make fun people that preach a sinning religion. We'll get out as apostolics and do things that the Word of God does not approve of. We'll sin against knowledge.
Oh, God. Folks, I tell you the truth. When I look around in the world and I think about what we represent and the gospel we preach, the holiest thing in the world, and then somebody tried to substitute it with something else
and try to put something else in the place of the gospel. You can't do it to save your life. You're either apostolic, you're not. If there is another gospel, what kind is it?
Now, I kept my radio on until I couldn't start my car. We didn't have no communication. We didn't have no electricity. And I thought of that old song when they sang in the during the war and said, "When the lights go on again all over the world." My God, and I begin to think about what's going to come on this world and how it's going to pass away. All you talk about, as Brother Narr said this morning, not wanting to miss the rapture.
So I wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world. What's going to happen to this world? Now you talk about, I'm just as happy to make my stand and the stand that I take on the apostolic truth as I can be.
If the apostles wasn't ashamed of it, why should I be? Oh, what you going to do after the rapture's made? I'm just not interesting to see after you when it's done. I'm not going to pass to my church. I'm just going to pastor till the rapture takes place. Glory to God. That's as long as I'm resigning, men. That's as long as I'm there. It's all I can do to stay there and help. When I get out like this and evangelism gets in my feet and in my heart and everywhere else, I want to go. Huh? And I sit by my radio. And I heard down Sabine Pass this re-echo that there's a woman and four children stranded in a house. And we're trying to reach her. She refused to go out. Brother, listen at me.
You don't have to be Methodist or Baptist. You don't have to be Nazarene. You don't have to be Assembly of God. But you are what you want to be. You know why I'm apostolic? I prayed through to apostolic experience. You can have it too. It's nobody is barred. There are people that says they believe they're born to go to hell. Peter said it's not the will of God that anybody perish, but that all come to repentance. If you go away from Acts 2:38 to preach repentance, I can't find no repentance. Show it to me. They said, when the eye of this tornado, this hurricane comes over you, everything will calm down. You'll think it's over. But they said about an hour and a half, it'll start in the other direction in a fiercer, more vigorous ambition. There's a little Roman Catholic church. No use for me to hold the truth back, are they? There's a little Roman Catholic church out there on the side of the Gulf. 2 days before that thing hit, I was down there. If I'd have stopped and preached Pentecost to them, they'd have possibly thrown me in the Gulf. But if I'd have went back down there when the wind's blowing at 110 miles an hour and a tidal wave reaching up to 10 feet coming across the city, and I could have said, peace be still, everybody's accepted. But when peace came, they went back to the Roman Catholic Church.
I tell you today, there's one thing that'll change your heart. There's one thing that'll make a different man out of you, and that's the gospel.
Amen.
Take it if you want to, but it does not do it.
If it did, then there'd have to be two lords. The Bible said there's one. And I wouldn't commence to believe there's a second one, much less three. There is a Father, and there is a Son, and there is a Holy Ghost. But the Bible said these is one. The preacher, that's pure mathematics. That's not mine. John said that. I didn't figure that out. I didn't know a thing about it till I read John. And when John told me that's what it was, he was an apostle.
Amen.
And I'm living in apostolic age. And now men didn't die satisfied until they knew that we, somebody on the end of the gospel, would finish their work.
And the Bible recorded it and said that they without us could not be made perfect. He said God had prepared some better things for us. You don't have to holler at me when I get done. I'll not be done, but you can tell me. Our communications, it was, you take your communications with God. You stop them. You don't touch God. You go all day without touching God. You're a miserable failure. You're a miserable cat. You take your evangelist nowadays. You can have an evangelist. And he rides his car more than he rides his knees. There's a world out there that's in a general stir, and you can't calm its fears regardless of what you preach. When the altar service is called here tonight, people will break for that eating joint and that drinking joint. And they'll go out there and they'll stuff and they'll puff and stuff. And you can't calm them. You can't stop it. There's an atmosphere in it. It's just like a man with an automobile in his hand
He doesn't have sense enough to know to operate. And he goes out there and kills somebody and kills himself. He can't help it. It doesn't make any difference who's after him. He can't stop it. And there's a world out there that's not going to listen to the gospel.
You mean to tell me that people don't know their sins? There was an old girl, French girl. She lived next door to me. She knew that I knew her old sin. She knew that I knew how many times she'd been married. And she knew that I knew she'd lived with men. She and her daughter unmarried. One day old Mary took sick. She thought she was going to die. Instead of her calling a Catholic priest, she called an apostolic preacher. And I got over there, and I said, "Mary, you're sick." And she said, "Yes, I know, Brother Eben, I'm sick." And I said, "Mary, you better pray." Trying to just kill her to death. I want to tell you this. You know your old sins by name, too. I don't care how much apostolic you claim to be. And your ties is hurting you right now if you've got them on you. And if you gossip, that's a killing you too. You'll have no peace, but you'll coat. That's good. And Mary started, I said, "Mary, you better pray. Get down to business right now." And she closed her eyes and tears started running down her face. She said, "Oh, Lord." She said, "Forgive me for all my sins." And she paused a minute when she thought she had them all. And she said, "Oh, Lord." She said, "I don't want no more men either." Don't you never think you don't know your own sins? Huh? The Bible said, "He that confesses his sin shall have mercy." Communication. My battery on my radio was down. And oh, I was sleepy. I wanted to sleep. And I couldn't sleep. There's too many people in the house. And I went out and lay down in my car and I started to go to sleep. And Order would pick up the back end of my car, and I thought she was going to turn me a somersault. And I said, "I can't stand this." Brother, you talk about a world. You talk about a hell. You don't know nothing. And the worst is yet to come. Over the radio, you'd hear people say, You talk about Ezekiel said something about the march of Antichrist when he marched across the mountains of Israel. And he left the dead as a man would go along, he'd hold his nose. The starch of dead flesh. The Roman Catholic Church said the vigil light in our church never went out. Brother, they've never lit a vigil light. And I come back to the truth. And I tell you that I'm upholding the apostolic message with all my heart. That Jesus' name baptism is the only baptism mentioned in the Bible. And anybody that doesn't obey that, your inheritance is not with the apostles, but with the Roman Catholic Church. I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly where I live. I know that I live in this age. And I know that I live in an unwanted gospel age. Telling you this. I know of a character. He wants to preach to his church and tell them where to head in, but he can't. It's got out of his control.
Everybody went and got him a television. He'd like to preach against it. But he sold up. They sacked him. Think about an apostolic preacher in a sack. Now, one of the dangerousest things in the world is from the pulpit. You can either take care of a congregation from the pulpit. People don't want to line up with what I preach. They can go out at the door. That's where they come in. One fella come from another church to my church and got one of my girls out of the church and then wanted to tell me how to preach. He first started on the deacons. He said, I'd like to bring somebody to church, but I'm afraid that fella run them off. And they said, don't tell us, call him and tell him. He called me. And he said, you don't preach like Brother so-and-so. And I said, I don't look like him. Don't compare me with Brother so-and-so. I believe that the apostolic message has got to be believed and lived up to. Now I said, go get them fellas and bring them to church so I can preach the apostolic gospel to them. He went and got them and I baptized them. I never had no Trinity people after me. It's always been one. It's the truth. You want to bless everybody. I do. But a lot of preachers go to the pulpit and say, now, I sure don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, I don't either, but I will. I didn't get in the pulpit to hurt your feelings. You ought to brought them here. I'm by them like I am by you, saying I stayed at home last night but sent my spirit. There's been nobody's spirit ever anointed me yet. It's your presence that counts at church. My 15 minutes up? Yes, I want to bar 15. Eight minutes. Sir, praise the Lord. Now listen at this. That's not me here. It's the Word of God. The Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness and he found favor with God. That was his faith. Faith. And Paul said, take heed unto the gospel which you have learned by so doing. You both save. You save yourself and them that hear you. And God said, Noah! Something's going to happen that you've never seen that. There's the coming of the Lord again. Now, you look back and you say, if I live back yonder where these people lived in the antediluvian world, and an old man come out and said it's going to rain, never had, then I'd get in the ark and do it. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. This is just realer than what Noah had. And I'm unreeling it to you this evening. And Noah preached. And the world spotted it. God said, Noah, get in. Get in. Get in. Said, when you get in there, I'm going to slam that door to you. You know what the word slam means? Well, he closed the door on him, on the rest of the world. God said, there's only eight people in this world that I would have. Well, he wouldn't have no rest of them. I don't know how many people. I don't know the population. This population is not worrying me. The amount of it And regardless of what I preach and what you preach and what you believe, there's no use for you to worry who's going in the rapture or who's going to be saved after all. The Bible said God knows them that are his.
Amen.
You just hang around here if you're not his. You're hung, too. You're just hung, that's all. You're not going to get out of here.
Amen.
You talk about a rapture. Oh, can I tell this before I quit? I went up to Hot Springs last January and I preached 2 weeks. I got a brother that lives out in Hot Springs. He says he's Church of God, as I told you how to go. And he come over there and I tried to make him believe he wasn't that night. And he said, now, boy, he said, there is going to be no such thing as a rapture. Boy, I'm glad the preacher that preached to me didn't preach that. What in the world would I do if there wasn't going to be a rapture? And I said, they're not. No. I said, why? Who's cut it off?
Oh, thank God.
Who's put it off? And he said, well, you can't find the rapture in the Bible. And I said, well, you can find where it said you can be called away. He said, I challenge you. I challenge you to debate this thing with me. And I said, where can we do it? At your church? Yeah. He said, come out there. Brother, listen to me. Don't challenge me to a debate unless you got a message.
No, sir, because I got one. I got one.
And if Jesus' name, from start to finish, from Genesis to the revolution we're going to have. I went out there one day to see his little church. And it was about the size of the cross. I said, boy, it won't hold me.
It won't hold me.
And I said, this is good enough for anybody in the world to preach there's going to be a rapture. Go ahead and stay with it. Oh, what I'm in is going to soar above the stars. Science is out there trying to build a satellite to go to the moon, though. Oh, brother, thank God there was a satellite launched way back down there 2,000 years ago, and we're not going to the moon either. We're going farther than the moon. Where we're going, they don't have any moon nor sun. The Bible said, his face shall outshine the sun. And they shall see his face, and his servants shall serve him. Wow. I'm going. Aren't you glad there's going to be something like that? Say, glory to God. In the rapture of the church, there's going to be one family in it.
Hallelujah.
I don't have any criticism to offer anybody. We all believe. If you don't believe this, it won't kill mine. And I'll have as much far, I'm going to try to have more if I ever come back, than I have now. Have you ever looked at anybody in the world that don't want to stay in this world? My brother, if hell wasn't no harder than Arkansas, I'd still keep the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. I didn't get the Holy Ghost to stay out of hell. And I'm not sorry that I got it. I'm not sorry that about, I don't know how far back here, it's growed up so I wouldn't know it if I went. And the reason I was up there, I growed up. Lord! Let's praise the Lord. Come on.
What would I do? Tell me. plan. And I strayed away from the touch of his hand, the touch of his hand made so much to me. I'll cling to him now. With me, will I make it through to heaven's bright land? For I'm kept by the touch of God's mighty plan. When days are dark,
there will be no more night.